Welcome to the EFL Podblog. Join us at www.eflpodblog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.
Last podcast, you talked about the first 10 deadly sins of presentation. So
yep.
Just a bit of a recap. Well, being too stressed, I suppose. We talked a lot about that and we'll talk some more. Covering too many points, reading slides, body language not so good. Okay, so what about moving on now to the next deadly sin? What about objectives?
The objectives, okay. So if the objectives are not right for the audience, then you can lose the audience straight away. So imagine that you have an audience who are very technically skilled, and a presenter comes along and does a very general presentation. So you imagine they work for a company such as Airbus or mm-hmm. Boeing, mm-hmm. and they start telling people, this very technical group of people, what an airplane is. It won't work.
No.
Now, on the other side, if you have people who have a very general knowledge base and the presenter speaks about things which are very technical, they can lose them then. Using things such as acronyms, which are not shared. Acronyms are great because they're a shortcut to longer words and expressions. But if nobody knows them, then they can rapidly lose concentration.
So how is the best way to gauge the level? I mean, is there homework to be done before, you know?
It's all part of the preparation. Yeah. Preparation is 99% of a presentation. The actual time that you spend in a presentation is 1%. And probably one of the first things you start at is thinking about your audience. Most people know who the audience is going to be, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's been no research on the audience, then you can be sure that there's going to be a problem. In fact, what we say is that if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail.
Oh.
And you will.
Nice one. Okay, so the idea then is to take time to find out who your audience is.
Well, if you don't know who it is, how can you build a presentation?
Yeah, but the level of understanding.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And in fact, it's a little bit, if you prepare a presentation without thinking or knowing who your audience is, it's a bit like sending a love letter with to whom it may concern.
Oh dear, that sounds terrible. Very sad. Right, okay. Right, well, moving on from that then. I often watch TED Talk presentations. Mm-hmm. Now, I would love to be able to do that style.
Do it.
Okay, I'll try and do it. So, but what about people who feel their body like copy these other people who are really good? I mean, is it worth spending time to try to emulate other people?
Well, let's just start with TED. If you're going to do maybe a 30-minute TED Talk, you're probably going to spend at least 90 hours working on it. You're going to spend 30 hours working on your speech, then you're going to spend 30 hours working on your slides, and then 30 hours rehearsing, really sort of fine-tuning, etc. We don't have to do TED, and we don't have 90 hours
certainly
to work
not.
On one
certainly
presentation
not.
Very
no,
often.
No.
But what was your question again?
Yes,
sorry.
It was, how is it really worth trying to emulate other people?
No.
Or should we like develop our own style?
Well, what we always say with presentations is be yourself with your own qualities, etc. If you're somebody who is not particularly extremely outgoing, etc., well, you have to be yourself, because if you try to emulate somebody else, you just come across as being false.
Yes.
The audience can see right through it.
Yeah.
And in terms of communication, you'll get nowhere. So be yourself. You need to obviously have voice quality. You need to have, you need to occupy the space.
Can we talk a little bit about voice quality? What do you mean by that?
Voice quality, there's various things in the voice. There's something about projecting the voice. That is, you're not shouting, but you're projecting the voice so that everybody can hear. Afterwards, there's the pace, there's the pitch, and the volume. Okay, so everybody needs to hear. But also, if somebody speaks with a very monotonous voice, it could actually send the audience to sleep. Now, some languages do lend themselves to being a little monotonous, French being one of these things. So what people can do is probably try and put some pauses. Often the pauses speak louder than the words. Into their presentation, and then when they come out of a pause, they go up a little bit.
Okay. So to kind of lighten the voice from time to time.
Yeah, it's just getting some modulation.
Yes.
And stressing and emphasizing on certain terms, etc., where it tends to wake the audience up a little bit.
Yes.
Well, we don't want them to be asleep, but what I mean is it tends to awaken their curiosity.
Yes, and it's true, I think, when people are a little bit stressed, they speak too quickly.
They do.
And
the thing is, everybody's going to be stressed. What you need to do is to be able to manage that stress into positive energy.
Yeah.
Stress being a great thing. I think we spoke about this last time.
We did, and breathing, perhaps, at the right moment.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that a presentation is a performance. Now, I don't mean by that that it's a one-man show or whatever. In fact, that is exactly what I don't mean. But you're getting up from sitting down, which is the normal position, to standing up and delivering a speech so that everybody can hear it. Your presenting voice is different to your voice when you're sat down. It is a performance, therefore you should prepare yourself. No actor or singer would ever go on stage without preparing their voice. However,
I think that's a very, very good point.
Well, people think that they can do this. Now, if they can't control their breathing, then their voice is going to be short.
Yeah.
They're also going to start stressing. But what a lot of people do as well is they put themselves into stressful positions by clasping their hands, hands behind the back or whatever. They need to free up. In the next podcast, we can actually look at some exercises and I could try some on you.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love it. I'd love it. Okay. And I think often when people are a little bit stressed as well, they expect the worst of themselves and they expect the worst of their audience.
Well, I mean, the upshot, the positive point of expecting the worst is that you're never going to be disappointed.
Because it always happens.
It could happen, but you've got to have a plan B.
Yeah.
You know, you imagine the projector doesn't work. You need to do something else about it. If your computer breaks down, you need to, in preparation, have your presentation on a USB key.
Yeah.
You need to have a plan B and you need to just get on with it.
I think I agree with that. I always say, plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Exactly.
And then you're okay. Yeah. And so that's a good point there. Now, what about question and answer slides?
Oh, I hate it. It's one of the things I really hate.
Okay, well, tell me all about this then.
Okay, so, you know, if somebody puts up a question and answer slide already for me, because communication, as I think I said in the last one, there's no truth. It's only perception. What happens at the other side? We think we're being clear, etc. If somebody puts up a question slide, then I can see that they are 1980s presenters. And they're also, in a way, if I really push it to the limit, they are saying to the audience that I've asked you, you know, I've said, right, I'm ready for your questions now. If I put a slide up, it almost tells the audience that you're so stupid that I need to put a slide up.
Oh dear.
To tell you that it's questions.
Yes.
Now, that slide has no use, okay? If we're planning a presentation, we say the rule of thumb is one slide is about 90 seconds. Now, some slides go faster, some slides go slower. What is the value of a question slide?
There is no value. Why would people ask a question on a slide? Is it to focus their audience's attention?
No, I mean, if you're ready for a question and answer session, just tell them there should be nothing on the screen.
Okay.
You know, because if you have a slide, you will probably, hopefully, be moving on the stage or whatever. You're probably going to have the slide projected on your body.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, not a good thing.
With a very, very, very big Q. Yes,
could
and an
be
A.
A Q. You just hope there's no other sort of words coming up.
Yeah.
But there could be. The thing is, you're going to dazzle yourself, and there's no value in it. You know, tell people it's question time. Make it clear that you're ready for their questions, and go for it. You don't need a slide for that.
Okay.
And the other one being the thank you slide at the end.
I was going to say, what's wrong with saying thank you?
Ah, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you, because as I said before, I think, but I'll say it again, is when we're presenting, we are polite, professional and gracious. We're always going to say thank you. I've taken time of people, they've listened to me, and I'm going to thank them. I'm not going to put a slide up, though.
To say thank you.
No, there's no point.
No.
I've said it, you know. It's another 90 seconds from my planning.
Yes.
There's no point in it.
Very,
it's
very
redundant.
True.
Totally redundant.
Very, very, very true. Yep. That's it.
But I will always say thank you, of course.
Yes, say it, but it's a waste of time to put it on a slide.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good. And I know one of your other pet hates, I think, I don't know why, is the bullet points.
Bullet points. Well, it's another thing of perception. If somebody comes up with a slide full of bullets, then I know that they are not going to be doing something which is very innovative. It's old stuff that people do. People do it all the time. It's been, now you can have a search on Google or whoever you use to search and have a look at bullet points. And bullet points will tell you that it actually has a really counterproductive effect on the memory.
Really?
And the thing is, if people have bullet points, it means that they've got lots of bits of text on there. Now, the audience is going to read your text while you're speaking. While you're speaking, you are not really making the audience very happy because they're trying to read.
Mm.
They will have read it before you've spoken because we read faster than we speak.
Yes.
And you just lose the audience. So bullet points, it's not good for the... it means there's been little preparation. Not good for the memory. And it also signals to me that, you know, if you're doing something about innovation and you've got bullet points, sorry, it's not coming across.
So what would you suggest if I've got... Is it 1 point per slide, are you suggesting, or...?
One topic or theme per slide. If you have like different themes on a slide, you're going to lose the audience. So think about splitting the slide up into several slides, but using the same amount of time. The only thing that you gain is clarity, and you will keep the audience with you. I mean, when we've got things on the slide, you know, if we have like one or two words, great, because it also awakens a curiosity in the audience. They're saying to themselves, now what are they going to be speaking about? If they've read a sentence, they know exactly what you're going to be speaking about.
Mm. I think this comes back to the point you mentioned in the first podcast about how to grab people's attention.
Exactly.
Keep them curious all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And what people use bullet points very often for is actually to keep themselves on track and
now
not
that,
to help the audience understand.
Now that I think is a very, very true point, that people use the slides to help them.
Yeah, it's a crutch for
them. Not to engage their audience or encourage. Yeah.
But it's totally transparent. You can see it. And therefore, it asks you how much preparation has this person done. And it's probably not very much.
Yes. Mm. Well, good. Well, if I can say thank you for that. I haven't got any slides here to say that, but thank you very much for that.
Good.
And we'll continue this in the next podcast.
Yeah, we'll get on to maybe some activities on breathing and managing your stress.
I can't wait.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eslpoplog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.